No. The third of the sons of Pandu. Was the recipient of a special mercy of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. For it was to him that the most sacred teaching of Bhagavad Gita was imparted. It was while standing between the two armies of the Kurus and the Pandavas, on that sacred field of Kurukshetra, the Lord Sri Krishna spoke the immortal song that would attract all living beings' minds back to their eternal home, the kingdom of God. Anyone who remembers the teachings of Gita in any circumstance of life will be relieved from all anxieties and miseries of material existence and find the true path toward the truth. It is described in Gita, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. The basic principle of all bondage and suffering is that the foolish, bewildered spirit soul thinks himself to be the doer of his activities. He does not know. He does not understand, because he fails to want to understand, that whatever he has in regard to his wealth, to his intelligence, to his abilities in this world, they are all the gifts of God. When you understand that they are the gifts of God, then you will utilize everything God has given you very carefully, in harmony with his desire, in his loving service. But when you fail to understand this principle, then you act independently for your own selfish motivations, and thus you implicate yourself in infinite varieties of bondage and suffering. There is a beautiful story in the Srimad Bhagavatam which very beautifully illustrates how the Supreme Lord is always worshipped by his devotee in the mood of great humility. We all have our abilities in this world, but the greatest man on the entire planet 5,000 years ago was Arjuna. He was the personal intimate friend of Sri Krishna himself. It is described that after that great battle of Kurukshetra, after Maharaj Yudhisthira was enthroned as the king, Arjuna was sent by Yudhisthira Maharaj to Dwarka to offer his respects and his obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna, Dwarkadeep, as well as to find out the welfare of all of the great personalities of the Yadu dynasty. Arjuna was away for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Yudhisthira Maharaj became very worried. There had not been any message. There had not been any word. He was away for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. At that time, Maharaj Yudhisthira became very concerned. And on the 7th month, Yudhisthira Maharaj saw all inauspicious signs throughout the atmosphere. and then Arjuna returned. But when he returned, he was a man that Yudhisthira Maharaj could not recognize. That gallant, heroic Arjuna, who was always full of vibrant enthusiasm, was not the same. He was pale white. His eyes were brimming with tears. He was without any luster. His head was turned toward the ground. Indeed, he looked like his heart was experiencing the voidness of the loss of one's most intimate lover and friend. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from Arjuna in various ways why he was in such a situation. And Arjuna began to speak. He said, that great personality who is the friend and benefactor of all living beings, who is the intimate object of all my love, he has left me in the pangs of separation, closing the final chapter of his earthly leela. He has returned to his eternal abode. Arjuna explained to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and now that Krishna has left, I am alone with nothing, and I am nothing. At one time, all the kings in the earth and all the demigods in the heavens, they offered me respects, knowing me to be the most powerful of all heroes on earth. But after Krishna has left this world, he has taken away all of my powers along with him. Arjuna explained that now I know that it was only by the mercy of Krishna that I can do anything. And this is a fact which applies to the lives of all living beings. We should not be proud of borrowed plumes. We should not think that what God has given us on loan is ours to enjoy. Just as he gives, he can also withdraw. Just like there is the powerhouse, and there are so many electrical devices that are depending on the powerhouse. Here this evening we see there are many very bright lights. And in your home, there are some not so bright light bulbs. Some light bulbs are very powerful, and some light bulbs are very weak. Huh? But all the energy is coming from the powerhouse. And if the powerhouse withdraws its energy, all light bulbs, however great or small they are, they all go out instantly. They are completely dependent on the energy of the powerhouse. As soon as the light bulb thinks that it's independent of the powerhouse, that light is his, however bright or dim it may be, that light bulb is in Maya or illusion. So similarly, however great or small we may be in our intelligence and our abilities, we should know that it is all coming from Krishna. And as soon as we think that we are independent of Krishna, we are in illusion. Because at any time, Krishna can withdraw it. And he will withdraw it in due course of time. Arjuna began to reflect on how Krishna protected him and showed his great kindness upon him throughout his life. With tears of love, in his eyes and with his voice choked up in the agony of separation, he began to remember. My dear Yudhisthira Maharaj, do you remember the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi? Draupadi was the most beautiful of all princesses in the entire creation. In fact, Arjuna, by the grace of Sri Krishna, was able to defeat King Drupada in battle under the order of Dronacharya. And at that time, Maharaj Drupada and all of his armies being defeated, the king was so impressed by Arjuna's heroic Kshatriya abilities that he performed a sacrifice, especially to have a daughter that would be fit to marry Arjuna. But being embarrassed by Drona during this battle, he also wanted a son that would kill Drona. So he performed the Agnihotra, and the Brahmins chanting special mantras, from the fire was born Draupadi. And the mantra that was given was, may a beautiful woman come out that will be fit to be the bride of Arjuna. And then the other oblation was, may a great hero come out that will be the killer of Drona. So from her very birth, born of the fire, Draupadi was always anxious to marry Arjuna. And when she held her Swayamvara ceremony, it was a ceremony where all the princes and the kings who wanted the hand of this beautiful princess had to prove their superior skills as a kshatriya. And they arranged a challenge that only Arjuna could fulfill. They put a fish on the ceiling, and it was protected by a moving wheel. And the contestant could not look upward, but he had to look down at the floor where there was a vessel of water. And that water was always being moved, so it was wavy. And in that moving water, looking down, he had to point his arrow up and pierce the eye of the fish. All the great kings and all the great princes and all the great heroes of the world came to have Draupadi's hand in marriage, because she was the most beautiful, the most chaste, the most virtuous of all females. At that time, Dhrishtadyumna was approached by Draupadi. She was in anxiety. She said, I only want Arjuna as my husband. He's the only one. But there's somebody else here who has the ability to pierce the eye of fish. And that is Karna. But he is born of a low class. He is Sudra. Therefore, you should tell him that he is not allowed to be in this contest. Only first class Kshatriyas are allowed in this contest. So Karna became very angry. And Arjuna, he explained to Yudhisthira, by Krishna's mercy alone was I able to pierce the eye of that fish. And after taking Draupadi, Karna led all the other princes and kings to attack me, to fight. And by the mercy of Krishna alone, I single-handedly defeated every one of them and was victorious. Said, by the mercy of Sri Krishna, when there was a great fire in the Kandava forest, at that time, the demon Maya Danava was about to be burnt. Not only was he about to be burnt, but he was about to be destroyed by the disc of Krishna. And this demon came and took shelter of Arjuna's lotus feet. It is said that sometimes the devotee is more merciful than the Lord himself. Arjuna was very kind upon this demon after he surrendered to him. And therefore he was saved from the fire and he was saved from Krishna. When Krishna saw that this demon is taking shelter of my devotee, Krishna understood that what is dear to my devotee is dear to me, even if he is a demon. And then Maya Danava begged Arjuna, please let me give you some gift as an expression of my appreciation. And as a gift, he built a beautiful assembly house for the Pandavas. And the assembly house that he built was like nothing else in the entire creation. It was so full of mystical, magical things that princes and kings from all over the universe came just to see the assembly house of Yudhisthira. Sometimes demons are very, very expert at creating things in this material world. It's like the great cities of the world. Essentially, they are built out of the motives of greed and lust. But the expert devotees of the Lord, like Arjuna, they know how to even engage the demons in doing wonderful service with their abilities for the Supreme Lord. We can use anything in Krishna's service. It's like this video recorder that is recording the gathering this evening. What most people do with video recordings? Can you imagine what they record? But that same video recorder, if it is used to record the beautiful glorification of the Supreme Lord, then it is transcendentally situated. Everything is potentially spiritual if we know how to connect something in the service of Krishna. So Maya Danava, who was such a very envious demon, he was engaged by Arjuna in building a beautiful, beautiful assembly house in the service of Krishna. Arjuna reminded Yudhisthira, this was only by Krishna's mercy that this was possible. And that same Lord Sri Krishna, when he saw Draupadi in the assembly of the Kauravas, her hair being loosened by Dushasana, she fell at Krishna's lotus feet, knowing that he was the only shelter in the entire creation that she could turn to. And with tears in her eyes, she cried out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." And that same Lord Sri Krishna protected our wife's chastity by performing the great miracle of incarnating himself as an unlimited sari. Krishna can tolerate any offense to himself. After all, the father can tolerate the offense of a foolish son. But Krishna will not tolerate any offense to his devotees. It is said in English, love me, love my dog. If you love Krishna, you must show your love to his devotee. Because devotee is like a dog. He is always loyal in his service to the Supreme Lord. So when Krishna saw that the hair of Draupadi was loosened by Dushasana, he decided right then and there that Dushasana and anyone who is connected to him, all their wives will have their hair loosened. And how did that take place? Arjuna was remembering. On the great battlefield of Kurukshetra, Dushasana, all his brothers and all those connected to him were killed. And all the wives had to loosen their hair as widows. It was only by the mercy of Krishna that this was possible. And one time, Duravas Muni, by the arrangement of Duryodhana, he came to cause great trouble. to us. Arjuna was remembering. Durvas Muni was an incarnation of Lord Shiva, a partial expansion. Born of Atri Muni. And it is described that Durvas Muni was very easily pleased and very easily angered. And everyone knew like this. When he came to the palace of King Kunti Bhoja, a very, very young girl, her name was Kumari Kunti, she pleased him with nice service. And Durvas Muni was so happy with her that he granted her the benediction in the form of a mantra. And if she chanted this mantra with any name of a demigod, the demigod will appear. This is an example of how he was easily pleased. Also, one time he came to Vrindavan, and Sri Radharani, when she saw him, she was very kind to him. He's a very, very austere-looking yogi. And the other gopis and shakis, they saw him and they became very afraid and they all ran away with his matted hair. And he was just very austere-looking. He does not look like a very friendly fellow to most people. So the gopis and the shakis, they ran away. But Srimati Radharani understood, this is a guest, I must take care of him. And she gave him such special care and kindness and served him with such sweetness of love that Durvas Muni was very pleased. And he granted her the benediction that whatever you cook will taste sweeter than nectar. And whoever tastes your cooking will never fall ill. And when Mother Yashoda heard about this benediction, she called Sri Radharani to cook for Krishna every day so that he would never fall ill. So Durvas Muni was very easily pleased, but he was also very easily angered, as we know from the story of Maharaj Ambarish. Simply because Maharaj Ambarish drank one drop of Charanamrit before Durvas Muni took his meal, he created a fiery demon that was about to destroy the king. So one day Durvas Muni went to the palace of Maharaj Duryodhana. And Duryodhana was very clever. He just served Durvas Muni with such attention that Durvas Muni became very pleased. And he granted him any benediction. And Duryodhana, he said, He said, you want to offer me a benediction? I want you to show kindness to my cousin, Maharaj Yudhisthira. He's now in exile in the forest. I want you to go to his place. I will tell you where it is. And I'll tell you what time you should go. And you should go there for prasad. Now, Durvas Muni had 10,000 disciples. And wherever he would go, he would travel with thousands and thousands of disciples. So by Duryodhana's very clever planning, Durvas Muni arrived with all of his disciples at the hermitage of Yudhisthira in the forest just after they had already finished their meals. And when he came, Yudhisthira greeted him. And he said, oh, we are very happy you have come. Now please, take your bath and then come back and take prasad. And Durvas Muni said, yes, yes, we will all take our bath in the river. So while they were taking bath in the river, Yudhisthira Maharaj was thinking, my God, what are we going to do? He said, Draupadi, have you eaten yet? She said, yes, I have eaten. Yudhisthira said, then we're finished. Because Draupadi had a special plate that was given to her by Surya, the sun god. And the benediction of this plate was that it would supply enough food for any amount of people that would come. If hundreds and millions of people would come to their house, that plate would supply enough food to perfectly satisfy hundreds and millions of people. But as soon as she ate off that plate, for the rest of the day, it was an ordinary plate. And she had already finished. So what are we going to do? Durvas Muni will certainly curse us like anything if we do not have enough to feed all of his disciples. So Draupadi was feeling very great anxiety. And in that anxiety, she understood, there's nothing my husbands can do to help me again. So again, she turned to Krishna and she began to pray, Krishna, in this situation, there is no other shelter than you. And Krishna, who is the Lord, seated within everyone's heart, knows everything. He knows past, present, and future. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chaljuna bhavashani cha bhutani mamtu vedana kashtana. He also knows every living being, but him no one can know in full. So when his devotee sincerely prays to him, you must have complete faith that Krishna is hearing that prayer. But you should also have faith that whenever you speak nonsense, Krishna also hears that. He hears everything. In Gita, 13th chapter, Krishna says, everywhere are my eyes and ears and hands and legs. I see everything, I hear everything, I taste everything, I feel everything. Nothing goes unnoticed by the eyes and the ears of the super soul. So Draupadi began to pray, Lord Krishna, please save us. And Krishna, right at that time, happened to appear at the door of the hermitage of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And when Draupadi saw him, she was very glad to see him. And he said, I have come. Now, do you have some prasad for me? Draupadi said, there's no prasad. Everything's finished. I've already taken my meals. There's nothing here. And she was feeling so bad. Not only am I going to offend Durvas Muni and all of his followers, but I don't even have anything for Krishna. And she began to cry, tears flowing from her eyes, in a very emotional state, explaining to Krishna the helpless condition she was in. And Krishna said, ah. He said, get your pots. Just let us see if there's anything in the pots left. So Draupadi very obediently brought a pot, and there was one tiny little speck of vegetable stuck to the bottom of the pot. And Krishna took that sabji and he ate it. Now when Krishna is satisfied, it is like satisfying the root of a tree. Every part of the tree is satisfied. Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, and every living being is part of Krishna. So after he took this particle of vegetable, all of the disciples of Durvas Muni, including Durvas himself, their stomachs became very, very full, as if they just ate a gigantic feast. They didn't know, why is this happening? And then Draupadi told Bhima, Bhima saying, go call Durvas' disciples. So Bhimasen went to the river. He said, why are you delaying? Prasad is waiting for you. Come. And they began to think, oh my God, Yudhisthira is such a great gentleman. He's such an honorable man. That if we go there, he surely must have just a very spectacular feast prepared for us. And if we cannot honor any of it, it will be very embarrassing. So they all ran away. Arjuna was remembering how Krishna protected us. He was remembering how even Lord Shiva, in the guise of a hunter, challenged Arjuna. And Arjuna astounded Lord Shankar by his tremendous ability for fighting. And Shiva gave him great benedictions. Arjuna also was able to, in his self-same body, go to the heavenly planets, where he was given an elevated seat beside Indra. It is also explained that Indra, when he was attacked by a very powerful demon, he and all the demigods begged Arjuna to destroy this demon because they did not have the power to do so. It was all by the mercy of Sri Krishna. And by the mercy of Sri Krishna, Arjuna was remembering during the final year of his exile, at the palace of King Virat. All the great Kuru chiefs attacked to steal the cows. And the young child of the king, he was alone to fight against all these heroes. And Arjuna, who was in the disguise of a dance teacher, he drove the chariot. And when they saw the insurmountable ocean of the great chiefs like Bhishma and Drona and Salya and Karna and Kripa, they became very fearful. But Arjuna was able to defeat all of them and protect the cows. Not only did he defeat them, but he was able to take the jewels and the crowns from their very bodies. Arjuna is remembering that here I am, the same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot, the same horses. But now that Krishna has left, everything I have is null and void. After Krishna left this world, I went to Dwarka and I was attempting to protect the queens of Lord Sri Krishna. And at that time, a band of infidel cowherd men came to steal the queens. And I took my Gandiva bow to defend. And they completely defeated me. And powerless as I was, they stole the queens of Krishna. Of course, we understand the esoteric significance of this story, that those cowherd men were actually incarnations of Krishna himself to steal his own queens. But Arjuna was not aware of this. Therefore, Arjuna was feeling himself in a completely morose and destitute situation. And then he began to remember the teachings of Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. And as soon as he remembered those instructions of Sri Krishna, again there was courage, again there was strength, and then again there was enthusiasm to live. Bhagavad Gita was not simply spoken to Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to all living beings, to all humanity. And it is a fact that in any situation of life, even in the most difficult reversals, even in the most seemingly impossible conditions, if we remember the teachings of Sri Krishna as he spoke Bhagavad Gita, we will get courage, we will get strength, we will get direction, and we will get life. Why is this? Because the name of Krishna and the instruction of Krishna is none different than Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is sound vibration of Krishna himself. He has incarnated in that sound. And similarly, he has incarnated in the sound of his holy name. This is the very essence of spiritual life. And anyone who wants to genuinely make spiritual advancement, they have to understand this narration we are speaking tonight. The first principle of spiritual life is you must understand that you are nothing without the mercy of God. And if you think you are anything, you are the greatest
fool.
Whatever youth, whatever strength, whatever wealth, whatever abilities, whatever intelligence, it is all borrowed by Krishna. Borrowed from Krishna. And if we become proud of anything, we are utterly and totally disqualified from spiritual life. Therefore, we must strive to understand the glory of Krishna and be free from this disease of pride. That is the first principle of spiritual life. That we are all completely depending on the mercy of the Lord. That everything is coming from Him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matya sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandata. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from me. And this is the very essential principle of all the great religions. Even Lord Jesus Christ, when he would perform great miracles, he would say, it is not me that is doing this, but it is the Father in heaven who does this through me. I saw one interview with Mother Teresa, and this newspaper journalist was praising her activities like anything. And she was completely indifferent to everything he was saying. He was just praising her and praising her mission and praising her kindness upon these poor, destitute people. And she just looked at him like it had nothing to do with her. She just said, it is all God's work. When our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, when he single-handedly, at the age of 70 years old, without any money or any assistance from anyone on this earth, he started a worldwide movement with hundreds of temples, millions of books being distributed, tens and thousands of disciples. He remained very simple and humble. And if anyone would praise him, he would simply say that it is all the work of my spiritual master. He said he is so kind that he is sending so many people to assist. I am doing nothing. This is the mood of the great souls. In success or failure, in victory or defeat, in happiness or distress, the great souls are always seeing the merciful hand of God. We are all depending on Krishna. For the air we breathe, for the sunlight, for everything. And therefore, with this understanding, we can humbly chant the name of God. We can take shelter of the name of God, which is none different than Krishna Himself. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishnavatar. Krishna incarnates in this age of Kali as His name. He incarnates as the Shastra. It is described, Krishna Sudhamo Bhagate Dharma Jnanadi Bhisaha Kalona Stadrishamesha Purana Kodanoditaha. That Krishna has incarnated in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. And factually, just as Krishna spoke to Arjuna on the chariot 5,000 years ago, when you read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to you exactly in the same way. There is no difference. The only difference is Arjuna was humble and submissive, and we're not. Because the vibration of that book, the vibration coming from the lips of the saints who are teaching Gita, is absolutely non-different than what Arjuna experienced. Arjuna was submissive. Arjuna humbled himself before God, and therefore he was completely enlightened by the teachings of the Gita. And even in the most distressful calamities in life, when he simply remembered Krishna in humility, when he remembered those instructions, he was enlightened. If we hear Gita with that submission, we will get the exact result as Arjuna did. There is no difference. It is an eternal message. So by hearing the glories of the Lord, by hearing the words of the Lord, and by chanting the names of the Lord, understanding how much we are dependent completely on His mercy, this quality alone will deliver you from the cycle of birth and death. In the age of Kali Yuga, there is only one means of returning to our original spiritual position, and that is chanting the name of God in utter humility, completely depending on the mercy of the Holy Name, completely taking shelter of the instruction coming from the Guru and Krishna. If we simply take shelter of the instruction coming through Guru, who is the representative of God, speaking Gita, and if we completely learn to take shelter of the name of God, as simple as it sounds, there is no doubt it is Krishna's promise that we will attain Him without fail. All the miseries and problems of this world, there are so many grand arrangements to try to make things better. But everything is getting worse because people have missed the real point. Until we put God in the center and recognize we are depending on Him, until we put Him in the center by chanting His name, by coming together to glorify Him, there is no real hope for peace in this world, because all attempts are artificial, superficial. We must base our pursuits for happiness on the truth. And Krishna says in Gita that the truth is to know that all living beings are part of me. They are depending on me, and that they are mine. So let us chant the holy names of the Lord with great sincerity. Whether you are old or young, rich or poor, wealthy, in knowledge or illiterate, man or woman, Western or Eastern, in any situation in life, if you simply develop this quality of consciousness, then your life will be perfect. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Let us follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, and always remember